Hey friend, really proud of this Portfolio Career Podcast episode with Earl Richards. Earl can be found on all the socials at Earl Richards Jr. When you check out his LinkedIn profile, you will see all of the many leading clients and agencies he has worked with. He is now a full-time freelancer of his own company, strategy, and consulting company. He has worked with clients like General Mills, Bank of America, The Economist, Procter & Gamble, just to name a few. He talks about the transition from his 9-to-5 and having a side hustle while at the 9-to-5, the 5-to-9. He provides a ton of real-life examples here about personal development as well. Books like The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, Designing Your Life, just to name a few, and many specific productivity tools like Rescue Time are mentioned here. This podcast with timestamp notes are available at my website, portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you also find a way to subscribe to my monthly newsletter. Earl combines complex data analysis with his dynamic personality for a powerful portfolio career combination. So tune in to build and grow your portfolio career. And as always, let me know what you think. Cool. Welcome to Portfolio Career Podcast. Your host, David Novinsky, here with Earl Richards. How's it going, Earl?
I'm doing well, David. How about yourself?
Good. I'm good. So Saturday, and Earl, if we were to go to an event tonight, how do you typically introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Earl, like that TV show that got canceled. That's usually how I go. And then they usually ask, okay, great. I've never seen that show. And then I'm like, well, it's a great show.
And if it goes professional, how do you typically respond to some of the work that you do?
Sure, absolutely. I tell people that I'm a consultant, and I usually work with agencies and their brands to help them better understand how to use their data to help improve their businesses.
Awesome. You have a really impressive LinkedIn profile in the sense of so many different clients in such a short period of time. I can imagine productivity and relationship development and management is very key and critical to that. Maybe could you speak to kind of how you're able to kind of work on a lot of different client work?
Sure, absolutely. So actually, I'm a big fan of Ramit Sethi. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he has this this site called I Will Teach You to Be Rich, and also the book of the same name. And he has this great community of people who are, you know, overachievers. I like to call them my tribe. And one of the lessons that, you know, I learned from the material that he shares, it includes things like entrepreneurship. So when I left my career in advertising, I knew that I wanted to get the experience of working with several types of clients. And so I started to, after I left my full-time career at a digital agency, I started to, you know, look for different companies that were looking for help with someone with my skill set. And so I just started kind of, you know, taking jobs, you know, taking on projects, helping, you know, my clients and gaining more skills and meeting new people.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you mentioned your skill set. Could you maybe speak to that a little bit more?
Sure, absolutely. So I started my career a little over 10 years ago, and it's when big data was a thing. Everybody's still dealing with small data. And so I was always been focused in technology. I'm from the U.S. Virgin Islands, and I was one of the first of my classmates to have a computer. And I've always been into technology, one of the first to have internet. So when this whole thing called, I don't know if you remember Yahoo or Excite or AltaVista, the old school search engines, I was like, I have the world at my fingertips. It was amazing. You have to understand, I was a little island boy in this island in the Caribbean, and I have access to all the world's data. So much better than Microsoft and Carter. But anyways, so how I got into analytics with agencies, it was actually a friend of mine from college who forwarded me a job invitation. It was after college, and I was still struggling to find a job. The summer after college, I was struggling to find a job. And a good friend of mine, he's one of my good friends from college, he was bored at his job. So he sent me this job, you know, description for somebody. They're looking for somebody who's a strategic analyst, you know, looking for somebody who's good with Excel, who can think about numbers and can help, you know, look at things to help answer questions. My friend emailed me the job description. I emailed back, have you met before? So nothing about this job description tells me what I do. But the more I learned about it, I looked at it, it's like everything that I studied at my school was able to complement what they were looking for. And the thing I love about the data is that I'm not the biggest fan of data in the sense data for data's sake. What I use data for and with my clients is I tell them that it's a means to an end. Using the data to help answer their questions instead of relying on, let's say, the opinion of the highest paid person in the room.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier you were talking about habits. Are you able to speak to some of your favorite habits to be productive? And
sure, absolutely. When I was back at home in the island, I don't know how I got into it. I remember getting my hands on David Allen's Getting Things Done. It's a classic in the productivity space. And one of the key concepts that I took away from that book was the idea that, you know, not to have all your ideas in your head. Your mind was made for thinking and creating things, not necessarily for storing things. So that was my first, you know, kind of taste into how can I better use everything that I have available to me. So in this case, like building productive habits was the getting things out of my mind and having a notebook wherever I go, or in my case, my phone these days. But having that ability to start doing that was like kind of the first taste. But I can touch on all the different habits I've developed over the years if you want.
Yeah, I'd love to learn what has worked and maybe what hasn't worked.
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, one of the things that I've learned with like getting into personal development and productivity and building habits, you know, I like to think of them as experiments. I think overall, that's kind of the mindset that I have when I try new habits. You know, I admire thought leaders like Tim Ferriss, Ramit Sethi, Noah Kagan, and, you know, some of the books that I've read, like including Tim Ferriss's Tools, you know, Tools of Titans and his Tribe of Mentors, they have some recommendations. The first one that's been probably the most impactful that I've seen the biggest returns on so far is building up a daily meditation / mindfulness habit. You know, everybody recommends it. You're just like, okay, fine, I'll give it a try. And I think actually committing myself in the morning to do at minimum for me 10 minutes is a great way to start my day. And I've been working for the last few years, but now more recently, it's been ingrained in my morning routine.
Okay, great. Very happy you found the successful habits there. And one thing that I've come to know from you, Earl, is you have like a workflow and a timeline that you really like to work from in terms of, I've heard you speak about it at an event before in terms of there's only certain hours a day that maybe it's an energy management habit of yours, but are you able to speak to, you know, how you like to design your day to optimize your energy and kind of impact?
Sure, absolutely. Yes, I think that, so there's a great book. The full name of the book is The Power of Full Engagement. And the general idea behind the book is the idea that it's not so much about managing your time to be productive, it's about managing your energy. And one of the big things I took away from that book was the idea that if I need to get better at managing my energy, and it comes in four domains. One is your physical energy, your mental energy, your emotional energy, and your spiritual energy. And if I could build habits, routines, rituals that can improve all different facets of the types of energy, then I can make myself in a better place. So to answer your question regarding my schedule, one of the things that I started to do was to keep track of the times throughout the day when I was the most energetic and when I was the most focused, you know? And so, for example, I know that early in the morning, like some people, like I wouldn't say I'm an early bird, but I know that I can concentrate and get a lot of work done. But right around afternoon, I think there's that afternoon lull. It's more, I would call it a trough. I think, you know, it's called a trough where I just kind of like, I need to do something that's less mentally demanding. And then right around later in the evening, I get that second wind where I can be more energetic. So then when I meet people, I'm very high energy because that's when I'm getting my second wind throughout the day. So I've tracked myself, honestly, using a tool like Rescue Time to see the times of the day when I'm most productive. And I know myself well enough to know when I can get my best work done.
Awesome. Rescue Time. Time you get your most best work done.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My biggest recommendation for anybody who's into productivity and or personal development is the emphasis on the word personal. Everybody's a little different. And I think the more you get to know yourself and accept the things about yourself, for example, maybe you work better late at night when it's quiet and you have time to be by yourself and your mind is wired, then leverage that. You're a night owl. Use that to your advantage if it's possible, given your work situation. But you should try to work to your best schedule, I would say.
Okay. And then speaking of personal development, one of the ways that we met was through a group here in New York called Personal Development Nerds. Grateful for that community and organization to bring us together. And I saw you speak there, maybe it was about a year ago or so, on the concept of being your own product, so to speak. Are you able to speak to that a little bit more, Earl?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think that the inspiration was actually, I think it was probably the third time I reread Carol Dweck's book, Mindset. And general thesis of the book, there are two types of mindset, whether it's a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. Fixed mindset meaning that you have, you know, certain innate traits and abilities that make you talented or not, right? Versus, say, a growth mindset saying that if you put in the time and effort and energy to change yourself, to improve yourself, you can get better. And her general findings is that once you adopt a growth mindset, you know, you can become a better person. You can become more productive. So then, you know, my experience has been in the tech field. At the time, I was working with a lot of product developers. And so, you know, in the same way, in this day and age, a lot of, you know, platforms, apps, systems that we use, they're constantly iterating to improve themselves so they can make it the best experience for their users and their customers. So I thought about in the same way, in a lot of ways, you know, we as individuals, we are our own products. And we are, you know, most of us, at least especially in our group, personal development nerds, we are trying to be better versions of ourselves. And so we can be better for the people that are in our lives. So I just saw the relationship between people and products, and not in a way that people are objects, but more so that we can look at ourselves in ways that we can improve ourselves to be better and to be better for others as well.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Are you able to kind of speak to an example in terms of using that as that lens, what types of either like features or, next iterations or next releases, next versions, are you able to speak to an example or two of, you know, some using a product mindset that you've been able to apply to your personal and professional life, Earl?
Sure, absolutely. I think the one biggest one I can think of right now is that I actually did an experiment that I'm finding great results with. And so, you know, I'm a very social person, and living in New York, one of the big things in being social is that you go out, you drink, you meet some really cool friends. And, you know, I enjoy going out and meeting new people. I think that's the thing. But one of the things I've been reading more about how, you know, alcohol affects the body, affects your sleep, and, you know, can make you less productive the following day. So taking that feedback, if you're taking a product, I'm getting feedback, maybe this feature is more a bug, and what can I do to manage that? And so in the last few months, I've been, you know, redacting, if you want to use product terms, but I redacted the idea of going out for the sake of just drinking and just leaving that on the table and focusing on just connecting with people without the need of having something in my hand to drink, et cetera. So I've been, you know, I took that feature, you know, that's, I classified it as a bug. And now I'm to the point where, you know, I've been doing this experiment for the last, you know, few weeks, and I'm seeing so much improvements in other parts of my life. So this one feature that I had in my product, you know, has cascaded onto other parts of my life. That's so amazing. I think that's been kind of really helpful for me.
Yeah. Especially if you're hearing great reviews from your customers.
Absolutely. It's hard to explain to people who haven't done it. And I say with any recommendation when it comes to this space in productivity or personal development, try it, see if it works for you, because everybody's a little different. But I know that for me, you know, getting rid of that bug, I think helping me become the better person. Like, I'm getting so much better sleep. I've literally gotten compliments from people saying that you look different, your eyes are shining brighter, like, and, you know, that wasn't my intended goal, but, you know, that's probably good feedback. And whenever you make a change in your product, whether you're working in tech or working on yourself, it's good encouragement to keep on with the positive improvements that you're making in yourself.
Yeah, I love that.
Exactly. Cool. Customer
and
satisfaction.
How do you think about that type of approach for, you know, your career in terms of balancing personal and professional life? Do you, Is there things that you're kind of experimenting with that are in like R&D phase for, down the road?
I think that I don't know if I find a valid value to separate personal versus professional. I think I'm the same person, and I don't really, anybody who's worked with me before, anybody who's friends with me, know I really don't change my approach, whether it's personal or productive. I think that, if you're looking at it from a product standpoint, like I mentioned before, again, I'm not a product designer by any stretch. That's not what I do, but I've learned about it because I've worked with product designers and I, product managers, excuse me, and just the mindset is really interesting. So when it comes to professional, I think that being able to learn new things on the job or building new skill sets, like in my, for example, not to get too in the weeds, but in what I do, I work with big data often. And one of the tools that we use is we use databases to get the information that we want, from a different client. And learning a language like SQL, SQL, is a great way to get comfortable pulling the data in a way that's fast and efficient. And so one, you can call it a product enhancement, was my taking the time to invest to learn this language. So that way, when I work with clients who have big sets of data and I need to be able to access that, I can use my skill set I just picked up to be able to get the information I need to help provide the insights that every company is looking from their data.
So it seems like you're able to combine techno expertise with also your wonderful personality and communication skills that maybe could be siloed, but by combining them is an advantage.
Right. Yeah. I for me, like I said before, I don't find a lot of advantages of separating the two. I think for me, I definitely understand and see the importance of work-life balance, but for me, that's just life. And the trick is, I would say, is that being able to, in the words of Tim Ferriss, design your life in a way that they complement each other. And so that way you can design, you can figure out, what career path makes the most sense given what you're trying to do and how you're trying to help the world.
And if somebody is listening and hasn't been able to kind of figure that out yet, or is, thinks they're close to it, what advice would you give to them for them to kind of step into, designing their life, on their terms?
Sure, that's a great question. And it's a question that I have for myself as well. There's actually a really great resource that I found invaluable as, I was kind of trying to figure out the answer to that question. It's a book called Designing Your Life. Highly recommended in terms of your career. And one of the big things, lessons I learned from that book, the general thesis of the book is, applying is written by two professors from Stanford's design school. They call it the D School. And the general thesis is that they're applying design practices, best practices and principles to your career. And the general idea is like, look, we don't have a set career path. There's not one answer to the question, right? And when it comes to design, there's not one way to solve one problem. There's several ways to solve a problem. And I think if you look at what you want to do with your career, there are several ways you can go down that path. So I would say to somebody who's looking for help, I would say, think of all the different paths that you want to consider. Whether it's starting your own podcast, whether it's starting a consultancy, whether it's working for this big tech company, whatever your different interests are, I would say lay them all out on a piece of paper or a mind map or a whiteboard, whatever tool or a napkin, even whatever works. But then to figure out, okay, all these different opportunities that you are potentially interested in, try to figure out ways where you can give them a trial. For in other words, if you want to look at thinking about, for example, you want to try out consulting and see like if you can, learn the lessons of being an entrepreneur, you can do what I did. So before I went to going, full-time freelancing consulting, I started working with clients on the side. So when I had a full-time job at the agency, and on the side, I always said it was like I had a 9 to 5 and then a 5 to 9. So that way I was able to still have the security of having a full-time job and obviously still have built skill sets and working with my team with my full-time job. But I also knew that I wanted to get the experience of being able to be more entrepreneurial and get the experience of working with entrepreneurs as well. And so having that side hustle, that gig, whatever you want to call it, to build those skill sets. And that was my way of trying it out. So that way when I made the flip to doing the full-time freelancing consulting, I had a taste of what it will require. kind of thing. And you could do that for any opportunity, you know, whether it's taking an internship, doing some free work, or just talking to people and taking them to coffee, talking to people who are experienced in the field that you're curious about. There are ways to go out finding out and learning more about those opportunities so you can figure it out, because you're not going to have all the answers. That's the whole point. But you can find ways to find the answers.
So 9 to 5 and then a 5 to 9, mm-hmm. have experiments, test things, talk to people.
Yes. Coffee dates are, yeah. Or if you want to be a little funky, you can try Kava or Kratom.
So if somebody wanted to grab coffee with you, you know, what is a good way to kind of connect with you on that? You know, like how could somebody reach out to you that would then be, you would perceive to be something of interest to you or helpful in your causes? And
sure. I think one of the things that, I don't know, I've been guilty of it, and I've seen people who eventually came for me to help. I think people are under this perception that people aren't willing to help. And I think that's been the opposite of my case. I think that people, you know, once I got rid of that, let's call it a limiting belief, that I'm bothering people or, you know, why would they help me? I think at the end of the day, it's been my experience that more people want to be able to help others. You know, I've learned a lot in my career, and I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for the people I were able to reach out to get advice, to get their thoughts, and to take them out to coffee, etc. So for me, you know, I love the opportunity to return the favor, or to actually more like pay it forward. And so I think that having the mindset, I can ask for help and people will need to help me. And the only reason I wouldn't be able to help somebody is if I just didn't have the time. But normally, like, yeah, like somebody is picking my brain and asking me to talk, captive audiences, I'll do it. But specifically reaching out to me, I'm everywhere online. Like, you know, you can find me on LinkedIn. It's probably my preferred. If it comes to career things, I prefer LinkedIn. You can get my email there. Reach out to me. Like, if I'm available, I'll talk. I'll give you my thoughts and say caveat, take it with a grain of salt. This is just my point of view and my experience.
Yeah. No, that's very generous and kind of you. And I hope people take you up on that, but maybe not too much. So you don't come back to me and say, David.
You know, I mean, podcasting is big. If not, I could do a vlog on YouTube. That's my new wealth of information, by the way.
Another thing would be when you had the 9 to 5 and then the 5 to 9, what other either like tools or tactics or like what else did you kind of learn during that maybe took a little while to then figure out, but then you got in a groove? You know, how did you kind of balance that and then realize, okay, this is working? Like, how did you balance that?
That's a very loaded question. I get like, in terms of, I'm a big fan of, you know, finding the right tool. I'm a big fan of technology. I think it was Steve Jobs, and don't quote me on this, but he said that the computer is the bicycle for the mind. And so I'm a big fan of leveraging technology whenever possible. So I use tools like the bullet journal method. I do my version of it. And if you see me everywhere I go, I have a notepad on me. Whether you see it, it's probably a small moleskin if we're out. But normally, and if we're in an office, I have a big legal pad that I work with. But I write everything down into my bullet journal. And then after that, I put everything in a system that works. So all the events go to calendars. All of the messages that I need to follow up with, they're going in an email. Or everything that I need to do goes in my to-do list manager, which I use Todoist. That's not a plug there. They're not sponsoring this, but I'm a big fan of Todoist, premium user. But like, there are different, whatever works for you. Everybody's a little different. Some people are more analog, some people are more digital. But I think that finding the right combination of, you know, tools to help you accomplish what you do, that's what I found really helpful for myself. So I have an entire system that I can get into detail if you want. But I think being able to leverage technology to accomplish what I'm looking for has been very helpful to help me better manage my time and my energy and to be there for the people that I want to be there for.
Great. Okay. Well, I appreciate you being here, being there for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Is there, you know, as you kind of think about the different projects and work that you've done and kind of, you know, designing your life and bringing more and more Earl to the world, is there anything else that you think that we haven't talked about here that you'd like to?
That's a great question. I would say that I think one of the things that people need to hear, and something that I need to hear when I was younger, and I think that I'm relearning as I, you know, my next iteration of Earl, I would say that, you know, I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for all who we are, all that we've done. I think it's easy to forget, you know, all the things that we've done, especially helping the people. Like, so one of the things that I've been getting better at is documenting the wins for the day, especially when it comes to helping the people that I care about or being there for the people I care about. That's one of my, I would say, my key values is being a service to people. So whenever I can, you know, I try to do what I can to be there for people. And sometimes I forget that I do that. So now I've been getting better at, look, I was there for that person. I was able to help out. And for me, that gives me a joy. And I remind myself that, yeah, it's just a great feeling.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. I agree. We are kind of our harshest critic.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God. Like, if I talk to a friend the way I talk to myself, I would deck that person down. I'm not even a violent person, but, and I think we all do it to ourselves. And that's a thing. I think, you know, to answer your question in a very long-winded way, I think that one of the key things I would recommend is to learn to be better friends to ourselves. The same way you're there, you know, for the people that you care about, your friends, your family, your significant other, I would say you should do that for yourself. You should be your friend and show a little bit of self-compassion. I think that's been very helpful for me. My journey.
I think on this positive, uplifting, warm way, I think this is a great place to end here, Earl.
Cool.
If you mentioned LinkedIn, is there, what other ways that people could follow up and support you?
Sure, absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, if you want to connect on Facebook as well. I'm on Twitter. I'm on all the socials, but the ones I probably use the most, depending on, you know, the reason, it's probably Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And it's the same handle all across the board. It's my full name, Earl Richards Jr., EarlRichardsJr. Everywhere across the board. That's called branding. I picked that up on my way.
Just another skill.
Exactly.
I love it, Earl. Well, really appreciate it, Earl. Thank you so much.
All right, Dave. Thanks. Cheers.